Hello and praise the Lord. Honor again for me today to continue with the course on hermeneutics. Honor to have you, our online listener, to listen in on these topics here. And I give God all the glory for the awesome privilege to carry His word. I want to thank you. Taking the time from your busy schedules to join us today. May God really richly bless you and open your heart as you study effectively God's Word. As we've begun with class one, we've discussed the meaning and definition of the word hermeneutics and the terminology exegesis. I won't go over that today. We talked about Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 about correctly handling the word of truth. And as a reason for exegesis is this here, is that we want to correctly handle God's word against the temptation to do proof texting or looking at scripture as a medium to prove our point or to justify our arguments. We need to use scripture in a way that to seek out the meaning the scripture is trying to reveal through its writing. And so we seek to prove its point, not our own point. We seek to seek what the Spirit is saying through that scripture. Sometimes we get caught up in, you know, liking a verse and sort of take it out of context. And I would argue that that sort of a mistreating of God's word is unjust, as it is not used in context of in writing as it is written. For example, when we turn to John chapter 10 and verse 10, here it reads, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full or in abundance." And if we were to ask ourselves the question based on our understanding of the scripture, most of us will agree here that the thief is indeed the devil. However, careful study of the scripture, beginning with chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus speaks of the shepherd and his flock. And when we look at verse 1, he says here, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Right there, Jesus explains who the thief is. He is the man who climbs into the sheep pen, not by the gate, but by some other way. It is clear that Jesus here is talking about false prophets who are trying to come into the midst of God's people, the sheep, and mislead them in the wrong way. Reading further down, it says again in verse 2, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of a sheep." There is very clear that Jesus, who is the good shepherd, enters through the right way. And he is there to provide the proper guidance to the sheep, not coming in any other way. Verse 7 makes it very clear. Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers." You see, Jesus makes it very clear is that he is indeed the prophet who has come to show the right way, but people who have come before him, false prophets who have come before him, are the thieves and robbers, he said. But the sheep did not listen to them. Verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And then we come to verse 10. He reads, he says here, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Context here speaks of the shepherd, the gate, and the sheep. Anyone else who comes any other way is indeed the thief or the false prophet. Another example to look at is Matthew 6:33. The Bible clearly speaks of there, as scripture we normally quote, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. A lot of people quote the scripture to justify their own desire for worldly possessions or to satisfy their own fleshly ambitions in this world. However, Jesus speaks those words right after verse 31. He says, so do not worry saying, what shall we drink, what shall we eat, and what shall we wear? Then he says, seek ye first his kingdom and all these things. What things? The things that people need for survival. Drink, eat, and wear. Certainly, God intends for us to be well and, have to be good stewards of all that he gives us. However, we are doing injustice to this scripture if we use it for anything other than our daily necessities. And so you ask why we take the time to learn hermeneutics and do exegesis. It is for this purpose right here, is that any scripture we look at, we want to look at it in the right context and understand it the way it was meant to be understood by the speaker or the author and the listeners or the recipients of that information. Amen. Amen. Moving forward, I understand that the last couple of classes have been available, and I trust that you took good use of them. I want to just quickly go over some details we went in those classes and then move into our lesson today. We talked about some basic steps as we look at doing hermeneutics. And first thing we said is that prepare oneself to know God, or prepare yourself to know God. As we look at the desire to study scripture and to learn context, really what we're doing is saying, God, I want to know you, and so we begin with prayer. Spirit-filled prayer is most essential in the beginning of our study as we look at scriptures with a passion to know God. Prayer will lead us to a place where the Spirit will open our inner eyes so we may understand God's mysteries. We want to look at scripture with a deep passion to know God. God, I want to know you and learn of you more and more and more. Jesus, before his ascension, spoke to Peter and saying, do you love me? And he replies, yes. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Anyone who lacks loving God, loving Jesus, and tries to take this word and preach it or live it or use it, he or she will be hard-pressed to experience the life that the scriptures will bring, because he or she is not in love with Jesus. Then we spoke about, in knowing God, we want to know the heartbeat of God. We want to know the intent, the motive of God's heart. We talked about how we need to look at scripture with fear and awe as we are holding in our hands the divine, established, eternal word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, we read that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so in order to increase our understanding, we need to make sure that we take on this task with fear and awe of God. Then we want to make sure that we are willing to obey what the Spirit is going to teach us through this study. We don't want to study to satisfy establish what we already know. We want to study with an open heart and say, God, whatever it is that you want to teach me, I'm willing to obey. That would be step one. Step two, we talked about getting an overview of the book. After the selection of the book, the chapter, and the passage, we want to know, why do I want to study this passage? Why is it significant? Then we talked about reading the book in one sitting with passion and feeling out loud, 5 to 10 times. We want to then summarize each content of each chapter, content of each chapter into a sentence if we can. And so if there's 28 chapters, we want to have 28 sentences as we try to summarize each chapter in one sentence. This is done so that we may understand the main theme of that chapter. Then we talked about preparing an introduction to the book. Talk about the testament the book is in, the genre or the language the book is used in its writing, the theme of the book, the reason for writing the book, the author, all and who the author is and all about him, and the audience, who they are and all about them. We want to talk about the opponents, you know, who are the people who are against the work that the author is trying to communicate. Talked about the conditions of authorship and what the author is experiencing as he's writing the letter or the book. The date of the writing, the historical background, the special geographies that is necessary to understand in the writing, along with everything else we discussed, and how all of these things, how it affects the passage we have selected to study. And so doing all of this will sort of make us understand how our passage fits in. And so we try to figure out the meaning of the book and the main emphasis of the book. After we've done all of this, we want to write a thesis statement for the book. And I hope you understand what a thesis statement is. It is a statement that concludes pretty much the main message of the book in one sentence, as you would do a thesis statement for a paper. We want to write a thesis statement for the book. And in the thesis statement, we should try to include information about the author, the audience, and the date, and also the main emphasis of the book. And also the language or the genre, type of language that is used as it is impacting the passage one has selected to study. And so obviously it could be a letter, and within that letter or an epistle, the text that one has chosen to study, figure out what genre that is in. Is it a quote from some other book, or is it what is that genre? And so specific interpretation for the type of language used in the writing of the text. Then we talked about setting limits of the passage. Here, we want to make a translation table, that is, research various translations and compare paragraph divisions such as NIV, KJV, NKJV, RSV, the various translations. And with that, we want to set limits of passage. Discuss where your paragraph and those before and after it begin and end based on the research. Now, we don't want to just go along with what we see in the versions there. We want to compare them and allow the Holy Spirit to illumine our mind, and so we can set our own limits there. After that, we want to identify our section, our pericope, which is a unit or paragraph or story or scene. Within the large division, which is the section. And so once we have identified that, and we can often use help from good commentaries and things like that on to identify the pericope if we have any confusion. And so after we have done that, we want to look at the passages around our passage, our pericope. And then so write down the chapter and verse numbers of each pericope in that division of our book. And so after we've done that, for each pericope within the division, answer the following question. Okay, so let's say we are working with one chapter of a letter, and let's say there is four divisions. There's four units or pericope. So that chapter could be one division, and there's four units in that one division. And each of those units, we want to ask these questions. What is the main idea of this pericope in the context of this division? What's the main idea the author is trying to communicate in this pericope as it is sitting in this entire division? And then what knowledge would be missing about God had God not given us this pericope of Scripture? Without the Scripture, without this pericope, what would we be missing about God? That's the second question that we should ask ourselves. Third question, point we want to do here is to write down one sentence summary statement of each pericope within the division in which your passage is occurring. So if there's four pericopes in that division, write down one sentence each explaining the content of that pericope. For which pericope immediately precede and follow the pericope you have chosen? Talk about those pericopes. Why is the pericope that's right above yours there? And what's the significance of that pericope as it relates to yours and the one after it? 5. What is the significance in the location of your pericope within the division within this book? In other words, why is this unit or pericope of Scripture placed in this section in this book? And so we have a whole book context that we already discussed, and then we have the immediate context, which is this right here, is that within the book, within the division, why is this unit important? And then we want to as the last step of setting the limits, we want to outline the book down to paragraphs, which we already talked about. Large books, we can break down into major themes, smaller books, chapter by chapter. Okay, now we come to our own pericope. And this is the thick of things, so to speak, as we look at exegesis. We want to look at our own pericope with an eye of studying now intensely into that scripture. So this is step 4, analyze sections of the pericope. Step 1, prepare yourself to know God. Step 2, get an overview of the book. Step 3, setting the limits. Step 4, analyze sentences of the pericope. Number 1, read your pericope slowly 2 times. 2, define the main idea and its placement. That is to say, does the first sentence set the stage for the main idea? How does the each sentence develop the main idea of the pericope? Does the final sentence provide a summary of the main idea of the pericope? These three questions we need to ask as we define the main idea and its placement. Third, verse-by-verse study. As we prayerfully read the scriptures, let the Spirit lead you to understand the message of the scriptures. Write a brief commentary of each verse based on the leading of the Holy Spirit and your research. So far, you've done a lot of research as we've set the limits, and as we have gotten an overview of the book and preparing ourselves to know God, we've done a lot of research. So as we have done that, the research, based on all of that, write a brief commentary yourself on that verse, as the Spirit will give you guidance. Let's go to step five. We want to analyze the historical context. Analyze the historical context. This is to say, what is the cultural and historical backgrounds of this scripture? Obviously, we know that anytime there is any writer or reader, he or she lives in a particular culture. And so understanding some part of their culture will be essential for us to understand the relevance of the message that is put forth. And so let's analyze the historical context. We should make a list of all the historical context items in the pericope which need explanation. For example, in your section, you want to write down, make a list of names, geographical locations, groups of people, customs of the author, customs of the audience. And so we want to write down all of these things as it appears in our pericope, and then we want to compare it to the whole book context, right? And then we want to compare it within our division, immediate context. Secondly, on each of those names or the geographical location, each of those items we have listed, let's find a good book, a historical book, or Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias, Bible atlases and commentaries, and read minimum of 20 pages about the significance, about the historical context of that name, that word, that group of people or custom, right? And so each of those individually, we need to do a lot of reading. Let's listen to what others are saying about the significance of that particular data. And so we have come, will be the fifth step of our hermeneutical process. Let me go over this over real quickly, and then we will call it a class for today. Step one, prepare yourself to know God. Step two, get an overview of the book. Three, set limits of passage to identify your pericope within your division, as the division is found in your book. Four, analyze sentences of the pericope. Each verse, each sentence, break it down and study it. Step five, analyze the historical context of your pericope, studying the cultural and historical backgrounds and reading about what others have written about that particular item. With this, I want to end this third class. May God richly bless you as you continue to seek God for truth and correctly handling the word of truth. God bless you.